is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Next on News for the Soul, Bridging Realms with Becca Honeycutt. Becca is an energy healer, body-mind counselor with a passion for shadow work, the art of making the unconscious to conscious. It's about diving into the depths of you, facing and embracing your deepest fears about yourself to reclaim and empower you to move forward in the seat of your own authority. This is an excavation and reclamation of the soul. This returns to you the ability to trust in yourself, unapologetically speak your truth, and have full freedom of expression. Please welcome back Becca Honeycutt to News for the Soul.
Heidi ho, my children. I am Miss Becca, a shadow worker, energy healer, and unapologetic sassy human, and I am very excited to be back with you today. For a reminder to anybody who doesn't know me, I learned the work that I am sharing with you through my own experience of childhood abuse and spirit's way of showing me how to use the pain I was dealt to make me stronger, get me out of survival mode, and back to the heart of the truth of who I really am. And so now I serve other women who have overachieving trauma and are sick of holding their tongue to unleash their unapologetic badass so they can be loved and accepted for the full expression of who they are. And today we are going to be chatting about the anxiety of imperfection. So if at any point during this day or during this podcast you resonate, you've got questions about this, you've got experience of this showing up in your own life that you want to chat about, feel free to call in. And you can do that at 646-595-4274 and ask to be connected to me live on the show. If you'd rather not, you can leave your question with whoever answers and they will get it to me. So thank you. Yay! Oopsie. Anxiety of imperfection. Okay. I have a really hard time picking a topic for today, just so you know. There was not a lot that was coming up right now. So I typically tune in to what's needed. I tune into what I'm feeling. I tune into what's around. And I can tell you, I know anxiety is up, but there's this weird energy of, how do I say that? Like I can't think, I have no brain, I have no mind. And then my body is like, hurry. It's really, really weird. And I know a lot of that is due to the astrology, but it's funky and it's weird. And so I thought choosing what we were diving into today. But I have something I'm excited to share with you at the end of this podcast today. And so this is where we're talking about today. So when I'm talking about the anxiety of imperfection, and actually there's also pressure of anxiety, I mean, there's so many layers to this. A lot of us are bound to this, like, need to get it right. There's this fear, right? Like, if I don't get it right for so-and-so, they're going to fire me. If I don't get it right for this relationship, like, if I say this, they're going to come at me, so I have to say it in a way that they'll hear me. Okay. There's also when you were growing up, this is where that got instilled in you, right? I talk about this a lot, but there's so many different aspects of it. So there's when we're little and if you've got, I'm what am I, 52? So 70s, around the 70s here. We grew up with parents that were like, you're to be seen and not heard. I'll give you something to cry about. All of that kind of jazz. This is what I'm talking about. So what we learned, if you were in this era, this was just the way it was. It was the way our parents knew how to do it. So there's not blame or anything in here for that. But what happened was they needed us to be mini versions of them. They needed us to behave the way they needed to stay safe. They needed us to have our needs match their needs and our wants match their wants. And God forbid, if we had our own needs or our own wants or our own desires or our own expression, we got in trouble. We got punished for this. At least I did. Most of my other people did too. But it was like, you're going to behave the way I want, or there's consequences. There's whatever the hell that is. And so I'm kind of like going to go through the stages of like, you know, where you learn this to how it's affecting you now. So this is why I'm starting in childhood. So what happened was you shut down the actual true heart of who you are. You had to shut down your authentic expression and become who it was safest for you to be, which is basically who they needed you to be. You didn't get to have your own needs. You didn't get to have your own wants. You didn't get to have your own choices. You may not have gotten to express any emotion whatsoever because emotions were might have been too much for your people to handle. And I'm like raising my hand over here. In my world, I was the one who emoted for the whole entire family. Like I felt everything and they were just like, denial, we don't want to deal with it. Logic over all of that jazz was what reigned for them. So I learned my heart doesn't matter. What I'm feeling doesn't matter. And it is the truth of who I am. Like it was my guiding force. It's exactly who I was. So what we did through that is once we learned, oh, we don't get to show up the way we want to show up, we started learning, how do I get it right for them? How do I get it right for them? How do I get it right for, okay. And we're doing this because we don't have rationale via our internal instincts and knowing, right? Like I'm rounding my back like I'm going to get hit right now. That's what goes on in my body. My body automatically goes into, oh God, position. Did I do it right? Oh God, am I going to get smacked? Let's see. Oh God, did I do this? Because it was never a learning curve. There wasn't like, here's right, here's wrong, do it right. At least in my world, it wasn't. It was, that isn't right, bam. This is wrong, bam. We didn't get to learn shit. It was just, you need to know and you need to know right out the gate. So a lot of people, when we talk about learning curves, they laugh because we didn't get to have a learning curve. We had to go straight from zero to hero and get it right, or there were consequences for that. And so in our lives now, this is part of how we treat ourselves. And I am noticing we have got an international caller, Bob from Australia, holding on line one. Did you want to share with us, Bob, what's going on for you?
Yeah, how can I put it? It's like you're telling my story. Healing them. I was born in 52. In 84, I started my dance with depression that went on for over 20 years. And in the early 90s, I started the work of healing the wounds of my childhood. And that was the most powerful work I've ever done, which is why everything I've written so far is all about the gift of depression, because it was the pain of depression that actually gave me the incentive to do the work, because I'd got to that space where my body was so full of pain that I was faced with two choices. Either, you do something with this, or I'm going to end it all, top myself. And so I'm really glad that I took that step forward into the only thing that I was afraid of, I suppose, was how powerful the feelings I was having, they were sort of overwhelming. But and I just realized along the way that feelings are healings. People don't die from feeling, people die from swallowing feelings. And so, it's so simple, really, isn't it? The solution to, I lost my belief in me when I was about 4 years old. And it took me 50 years to get it back. So, for me, it's all about healing the wounds of childhood. People say, the past is the past, you can't change it. And I know that. But I had this feeling that I could go back and heal it, so I did. And I tell you what, you would not believe how beautiful my life is now. I take full responsibility for my life. And I've created my own Garden of Eden. Oh, yeah. So and anxiety was a key word in my process, because I traced my anxiety back to my childhood, because that's how I lived my life. I was living in fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
So that became home for me, living in that, you know, dysfunctional arena. But anxiety was part of my life. And so when it cropped up in adult life, you know, I'd be walking along the beach and all of a sudden, as you say, you know, you hunch up, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up as if there's somebody behind you with a knife. But there wasn't. And I just realized that was just old shit.
Mm-hmm.
So by healing the wounds of my childhood, I got rid of all of that crap. And the day I realized it was like somebody had taken an elephant off my shoulders.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And this is true. This is true for me. This is why I do what I do, because this is true for me too. Like, my stuff started early at 3. And, like, I'm 52, but it's, like, it's a lifelong thing for me. Like, the healing has actually happened now, but it's been a long process to get there. And it doesn't, after I went through it anyway, there's quicker ways I can help other people through it. And I'm, like, I hate the fact that we had to suffer, like, for so long before we could get out. I'm like, I don't want people to have to wait lifetimes, you know, or half a lifetime to figure their way out of this stuff, because it's so intricate, as you say, with just like the feelings that are happening in your body, like, oh God, it's happening now. But it's like, nope, that's in the past. Oh, okay. Well, I've got to heal this. You know, it's just like, how do you heal that when your body's still reacting to what isn't happening now as if it were happening then? It's like PTSD of your nervous system, you know?
So, well, that's what super... dropped me.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what drives me in my mission. And my mission is to eradicate suicide, because knowing what I know now, and this is, I'm talking about my inner knowing, not my headspace, mm-hmm. not. But, you know, I went through over 20 years of hell. And if by sharing my story, people can pick up some of the tools that I used, then it doesn't have to last for 20 years. You know, it's,
mm-hmm.
it could happen overnight. It could happen overnight. And so I turned 71 last Monday. And my life has never, I've never had so much zest for life. In my life, I feel really vibrant because I found my mission, and my mission is to eradicate suicide, save lives, and reduce the amount of pain on the planet. You know,
yeah.
So every 40 seconds, somebody dies because of depression, and they do not have to. And I'm living proof of that. And so that's why I'm committed to doing what I'm doing. So, yeah.
Beautiful.
And there are more of us that's doing that. And what gives me comfort is the evolution of consciousness is exponential. And we just turned the corner. So if you think things are busy at the moment, hang on tight for a wild ride. But we have turned the corner in that evolution. And so for humanity, our ascension is inevitable. Even with all this craziness going on in the
mm-hmm.
world,
yeah.
That's just, the beast is dying and it's getting more frantic. Yeah. But we have won.
Yep, I agree with that statement. I know not everybody, if other people might have other opinions, but I agree with that. It's not showing up in physical reality quite now, but it's totally there.
And
absolutely.
I'll finish with this because I don't want to end up hogging the show, but what I've come to realize, I've got two principles in my life: keep it simple, sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is something I coined about 15 years ago, the Sioux principle: all are sovereign, unique, and equal, and everything else flows from that. And now, how do I run my life? I listen to and obey my body. because my body always knows what it needs. I just have to listen and obey.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple for me.
Beautiful. Absolutely. Yes. Rock on, Bob. Thank you for sharing with us. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Thanks for providing the platform, Becca.
Of course. You have a good one.
Synchronicity rock.
Woohoo! I love that. So, yeah, this is, I mean, like, a lot of stuff that we're, like, I hope that was helpful for you guys to hear as well. Like, so a lot of the times, like, he brought up, you know, suicide and all of that stuff. Like, usually the people that are coming to me, we've all been there. Like, we've all, it's a thing, right? And I know it's hard because there's a lot of, like, therapists where it's like you say that word and they end up leaving you hanging. And it doesn't feel good when it's like the depth of the place that you need to be seen is the one place that if you say it doesn't get held. Like, that doesn't help, you know? Like, so if you're in this boat, first of all, I freaking see you, all right? I've been there, and it's nice to hear from others who've also been there and then chosen not to, and that are grateful for the fact that they didn't, because I understand the pain of being in that space where you feel like there's no other choice. You're just, it's not fun. And I'm letting you know, and I love that Bob came on here to show, look, I've healed from this, because it's like, yeah, I am on there too. So it's like, this is possible. What I want to let you know, if you're in that space, is that it is possible to heal from this. It absolutely is. I am in a space now where I never expected to get, like, not in this lifetime. I thought it was going to take me at least 2 or 3 before I was like, oh my God, I get to be in joy again. What the hell? This is a whole new ball of wax. Like, I never expected to get there. I thought I was going to be what I call one of the walking dead for my whole freaking life. So when stuff started to shift out of that, I'm like, wait, what is this? I know how to do pain. I know how to take a beating. I know how to push through life and force myself and blah, 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 blah. And Spirit's like, but we don't want that for you anymore. We don't want that. We want more for you. We want ease. We want grace. We want joy. And I'm like, whoa, what is this high side shit? Cause I used to think it was all, you know, fairies and unicorns and bypassing, and some of it is, some of it can be, but there's also a place of realness with this energy too, where it's a real place of, oh my God, I have safety in my body again. Holy shit, this is new. Oh my God, I'm smiling at things and I'm having fun. I haven't felt like this since I was 5. Holy crap. You know, it's possible. I just want to let you know, this is not a like life sentence you have entered. If what I tend to talk about resonates with you and you're like him going, oh my God, you're speaking my life right now, there is a way out of this. So I just want to be that little beacon of light that lets you know it's here. And I'll get back to my topic in a minute here, but I just really wanted to address that, because it's like, if you're in that, I know you've been doing everything, right? You're reading all the books. You've been to therapy for 25 years. You've done all of this stuff and nothing is moving forward. So there are other ways through this that can give you tools you need in order to get there. And I understand that some of the traditional things don't do what you want them to do. You don't get seen where you need to get seen, and you don't get the big space held you need held. So this is all why I'm here. I see you. I feel you. I am holding the big space so you can go to your depths, okay? So the other part of this, which is funny, because a lot of what Bob mentioned is stuff that I was going to bring into this as well, too, is when our parents did this whole thing where it was like we learned perfection, which was someone else's standard of what they needed you to be, right? So perfection isn't like, oh, this is the standard by which everybody needs to behave. But when we're little and our parents tell us that, we assume this is a blanket way for everyone, right? Which is also why we end up getting in problems with diversity when people have different experiences than we do. And we're like, no, we thought it was all this way because we were told that this was the perfect way to do it and we'd get punished if we didn't. You're wrong. This is where we start to try to control or fix other people. Now that you have to become what I need you to be, okay? So part of the problem with this that you might carry forward into adult life when we look at healing this. My women, for sure, are I'm too much, I'm too big. If they know who I really am, they'll reject me, they'll leave me. If they see what I really am, they'll kill me, right? These are all these like irrational fears that are in our minds, but in our they feel very real in our body, right? I say irrational, it's not a judgment. It's according to the life we've been living and the conditioning we've learned. It's like, I'm sure you know that if you actually show up as who you are, no one's going to be there with a sickle to take you out, okay? Yes, they might leave you. Also depends on the patterns you're going to break. But the real crux of what that is, all of those stories play into one big thing. And that one big thing are your big, uncomfortable emotions. Because you were never allowed safe space to explore them and actually make it through your big emotions being supported, your caregivers were afraid of it, or it was an inconvenience to them, or they didn't have time for it, or whatever their shit was, they shut it down because they didn't want to deal with it. You learned, be afraid of my big emotions. Don't ever let them out. Okay? And so being perfect was don't feel. That's one aspect of this. It's just the one I'm going to use today. So it was feeling is bad. Being perfect means having no feelings and getting it right, getting the answer right, learning how to fix things, learning how to do things, learning how to earn love, okay? Now I'm quote-unquote getting it right. But you're getting it right for someone else's opinion of what they need. What happens when you get into a relationship and they have other needs that are different than the caregiver's needs that you learned was perfect. Now, uh-oh. Like, can you feel that in your system? Like, my whole heart goes on high alert. Because, like, I don't know how to do this version of perfect. Oh, God. And you're constantly, your nervous system starts walking around on glass and or eggshells, if you've heard eggshells, tippy toes, whatever that is, where it's like you're trying to navigate other people's needs before they even have them, before these other people even know what they need. With your energy body, by the way, okay? Your energy body is doing this. Your mind might be helping you figure this out, but your energy body. So if this is you, your gift, because we always do gift in the wound here, the gift of this wound is sensitivity, high sensitivity, which means you can feel into the unseen realm pretty well. You may not know that, but you can, right? Because it's like when you walk into the room and somebody's like, oh, they're angry, they're going to hit me, but nothing is being said. You felt that. You can feel the energy of the room. And then you're feeling into, what do I need to do to get out of this right now? What are they looking? Oh, there's trash. There's a mess on the floor. I'm going to clean it up as quick as I can. No one said a word, right? You just have this internal knowingness of, oh, God, fix it. Oh, God, fix it. Oh, God, fix it. Okay? So this is how we learn before we even have any kind of rationale how to get it perfect, quote, unquote, perfect, right? And what happened to your wild spirit, that part of you that came in knowing who you were and listening to your emotions and learning, which technically this is what like children come in with. They listen only to energy and their emotions. That's the only tools they have. Rationale is learned. It's not something we come in with. That's why conditioning is a thing. But we come in with energy sensitivity, and we come in with emotion. Like the first thing you do, you can't even speak out the womb. What do? You cry, you scream. And the mom has to learn what each cry means, what each scream means. Oh, they're hungry. Oh, they need their diaper changed. Oh, they have an owie. Oh, they want a toy. Right? They have to acclimate to you. And emotions are just a natural part of what comes in. And when we learn early on, your emotions are not allowed, and all you are is energy and emotion, the story you then tell as you grow up into an adult is, there's something wrong with me. I'm a freak. I'm bad. I'm defective. I should never have been born. That was mine. Right? Which leads into the whole, do I off myself or do I power through question? Right? And when you're growing up and you're growing up through puberty, and then that whole thing happens, I mean, it just escalates everything. And usually we're still in getting it right. And there's an anxiety going on of, oh God, am I going to get punished? Oh God, oh God, oh God, I didn't do it right. Did I do it right? Oh God, oh God. Usually we're waiting for the hammer to fall. So there's that base level anxiety. And here's the thing is, if you're growing up with this and you are an adult who is now dealing with this and trying to find your way out, take inventory right now of the decades you've been carrying this around, okay? This is what makes you tough. If you're still here listening to this call and this is you, you are stronger than shit. You are a freaking survivor, and I want to acknowledge the hell out of that right now. What's that, Timex? Take a licking and keep on ticking. That used to be my motto, right? Just keep going. This is no small feat, because this other part of what you're carrying through is freeze. Your body froze usually when the shock of this happened to you. And then the other part of you either left your body or went into tendon befriending. But what you are also carrying with you is complex PTSD, which is usually used in, you know, soldiers, all that kind of stuff. And the difference between PTSD and complex PTSD is when it happens repeated and often. You know, PTSD is usually, oh my God, there was one really scary thing that happened and now I'm triggered by that all the time. Like if I hear a car pop, oh God. But it's like if you're in war and it's constant and over and over and over again and you get back here, that is complex PTSD because it builds on itself. And when you're carrying this, you're carrying it in your nervous system and your body. And right now I've been noticing my body is the last, it's the first thing to be hit with this, and it's the last thing to let go. May not be true for everybody, it's true for me. And I've learned that, and I'm noticing where my body is still like, I don't breathe. Like I hold my breath. Don't ask me how I can, but even when I'm talking, I notice I can hold my breath. My jaw is always clenched. It used to take me a while to learn how to even open my mouth to talk, because I would talk with my teeth clenched all the time. I have frozen my, my intestines, peristalsis. That's frozen. That's been frozen in me for a while. It's just starting to feel safe enough to move. So these are all things that take time. And how this shows up, how does this anxiety show up? How does it shape my choices, my connections, my relationship, right? Right off the bat, how it's going to shape my connections as I grow into adult life, I am looking for where's the least amount of fear I can walk into, right? The path of less fear. It may not be less resistance, but less fear. So already my choices have been fucked because I don't have freedom of choice like maybe other people that didn't experience this do, where they're just like, oh, let's do this. This sounds like fun. That I never chose from a place of, ooh, this sounds like fun. I chose from a place of, is it going to trigger me to do this? You know, because it'd be like, let's go to Disneyland. The first thing that pops up for me when you say, let's go to Disneyland, which is most kids' dreams, is, oh God, where are the nearest bathrooms? How long is it going to take me to get there? Lines and claustrophobia, right? You say Disneyland, most people are like, yeah, let's go to Disneyland. I'm like, oh God, this sounds like a panic attack to me. Okay. That shapes my choices. I am now limited in my choices because I'm choosing where's the least amount of fear. That is my only lens through which I am choosing because of this. How did this shape my connections? This shaped my connections, my relationships, my connections, because I would not need anybody. It's hard for us to ask for help. We can't ask for help. We will be there like the loyalty police for everyone who needs us, but we will never ask for help ourselves. Most of us freeze in that spot. We can't. I used to not be able to even get my voice to work. I would freeze up and my whole body shuts down. I couldn't ask for help. I've trained myself to be able to ask for help. It has taken some time. I had to control everything. So it had to be something that I can control. I had to be in charge. So if there was people in my relationships, that's why it was safer. I need you to need me so that I can feel safe and in control. But I will never need you. And all of this is unconscious. I'm not like actively thinking this, what I was choosing it, until I learned later when they were like, why is it that I feel like I always have to get things right with you? And I was like, oh shit. Because I ask you to. I had one of my really good friends ask me that. And I was like, shit, I didn't even, because she goes, I hate this. It makes you feel like crap. And I was just like, oh my God, these are my defenses. This is my defense, afraid to allow you to be there for me. And we had to do some really deep work on that. I had to do my own deep work on that. And it was literally, I just had to have the conversation. Here's where I am. Here's why that's happening. I'm sorry that this is coming off and it's affecting you. I'm willing to change it. Are you in? Because this is going to take both of us to do. And I swept through all of my relationships with that question on offer. Because it was, I had to change it. I set this up for my safety. I had to take ownership of that. But before I'd even realized that, how many relationships did that cut out? Because I wouldn't let anybody hold for me. My defenses had decided no one's safe, no one's safe, trust no one. I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust myself to know who to trust. Because if you can't trust your caregivers or your parents growing up, how can I now trust my own judgment to know who to trust? That's usually what happens, right? And then how does this affect your self-esteem? I mean, clearly you can see this, right? My self-esteem and my self-worth are in the freaking toilet, right? But on the front, on the outside, I'm fronting like I got my shit together, okay? Inside, I'm like, oh my God, I'm a failure. I'm fucking it up. I'm doing it wrong. This is what the older you get, right? Now I'm in a job. I'm on my own. So I'm an adult. I'm out of the house. Here's how this pattern is now showing up in my daily life. Because instead of now hustling for mom and dad, I have to hustle for my job. And everything is under the lens of you'd better get it right. You better pick the right option. What are you thinking? How stupid can you be? Did you really think that was going to work? This is all happening in our heads. It's like the undercurrent speak that is happening either in the back of our minds with ourselves to ourselves, like we're saying these things to ourselves unconsciously, consciously, or in our bodies, it's showing up as a form of tension in my body, freezing in my body, not breathing in my body, neck pain in my body, losing hair in my body, whatever it is, because I am hunkered down so hard. I am so tightly wound and frozen that if I breathe wrong, I'm afraid, right? How can I have self-esteem with this? How can I have better connections, better relationships? And then this is not comfortable. So here I am again. And God, do I want to live like this for the rest of my life or do I not? Right? Then you get to a point where my My women are usually then calling me at this point where there is a new version of anxiety where they were good at when they get it right, the relief kind of came, you know, where it's like, oh, I did that project well, okay. And then it's on to the next thing, okay. But they know how to manage that until that stops working, okay? And what that looks like is this. The more I get it right, the more I have to get it right. The more I have to get it right, the more I have to get right and get right. And I can't breathe and I can't do this. There's too many things on my plate and I'm taking more on and I don't know how to slow down. And this thing is running away with me. And oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Now I'm in a panic attack. Help me, help me, help me. Nothing is working. I can't get this to stop. I can't get this to stop. My body is shaking. I can't go outside. I'm terrified, blah, 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 blah. Right? And the actual relief of even if you get it right, do the thing right, successfully complete the project, somehow the anxiety is still getting worse. This is when people are showing up at my door because they're like, dude, my tools aren't working. I don't know what's going on. I've been through years of therapy. This should have been handled by now. What the fuck is going on? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. This anxiety is very different. This anxiety is now the true heart of who you are calling you home. Remember that little wild spirit you were that felt their emotions and ran around and was free and excited before this hurry up and get it right shit came through the door? This is when she starts going, hey, I'm over here. Because she finally feels safe to come out. Which you think would be like, oh, yay, I'm ready to do healing. That is not how this presents itself. This usually presents itself as everything I do is failing. My tools are failing. I don't know what's wrong with me because I'm getting everything right. I should be happy. I'm good on paper. On paper, I look perfect. I'm making the money. I have the job. Maybe I've got the kids and a husband and blah, 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 and I cannot breathe. I'm overwhelmed. The pressure is killing me. And now getting it right doesn't work. What? This is you just notice. I want you to notice that even though it's still showing up as anxiety, this is that part of you that maybe you thought was dead. Maybe you thought you killed her off, right? Because usually we do that and we keep moving. She comes back when she feels safe to say, hey, I'm over here. So she hasn't been killed off. She's just been dormant for a really long time. And now the reason your tools aren't working is because you're dealing with an aspect of who you are that you don't know how to meet. Because she's not over there going, get it right for me. She's the one who's like, I want to play. I want joy. I want to breathe. I want to have fun. Let's go do this. And you're like, dude, I ain't got time for that. I got to hustle my shit and get it right so that I don't get hurt over here. So you're, these wants and needs of this new energy that was really old energy of this happy girl or happy whoever coming through is directly opposing all of your defense mechanisms that you have learned that live in your body and that unconsciously run your fucking life. Direct opposition. The part of you that's healing, the part of you that's healed, the part of you that's down there going, me, 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 I want to play. Let's do this. Let's have fun. And the part that you are seeking is that you can't get to her because your system is too busy going, alert, alert, alert. We can't do this. This is, it's opposing my defense mechanisms. If I let down, if I let go of all of my defense mechanisms, someone's going to kill me. If I feel a feeling, I'm going to die. Right? This is the stuff that's happening. If I let go, I'm going to go crazy and they're going to lock me up in a mental institution and medicate me. That was one of my faves. Okay? And I have dissociative identity disorder, so ironically, I actually am crazy. I just didn't know it for a long time. But I've still never been locked up or medicated. Some of my friends who don't have all of that did get locked up and medicated. It's all just big emotions. There is no reason, even though the rest of the world doesn't know how to hold for this and has to demonize it or label it or give you drugs to shut it down, if you just let it out, it starts to unlock everything. it starts to heal you. And it starts to heal itself. But you need things along the way. You need a system. You need support. You need a witness. Because a lot of the times, one of the things that will happen is, you know, sometimes that thing where it's like, well, if I don't say it out loud, it's not real. Right? We all have some version of this. If I don't say it out loud, it's not real. Sometimes even if I do say it out loud, if there's no one else in the room, it isn't real. So this is why you need a witness, because a lot of the places that you've got to go require getting a witness on it so that someone outside of you can go, I see you. I see that this is your experience. This is real for you, because we compartmentalize ourselves. We cut ourselves off into fractured pieces, and we compartmentalize ourselves and keep them all separate in order to survive. This involves taking those walls down and letting these aspects bleed into each other, meeting each of them, and then integrating them all into you in a way that holds compassion and permission and empowerment and healing. And you can't, this is one of the things that I hated. I really hated, this was true. I had a teacher who would say, the healing happens in the we. And I'm like, no, I can do this all by myself, right? Because we're tough girls. We're badasses. We got it. I don't fucking need you. I don't trust you. She was right. I hate admitting that, but she was right, because I prided myself so much on my power to overcome, right? That's our badge of honor. It's also a defense mechanism. My badge to overcome also keeps other people out. I need to be able to enter vulnerability, not weakness, vulnerability. And we've been taught they're the same thing. They're not the same thing. I'm actually more stronger. That's a great English right there. I am stronger when I am vulnerable than when I'm not, because I'm speaking my truth when that's happening. Usually that part where it's like, oh God, I don't want to tell people this. I'm going to look bad. I'm going to look wrong. I look like I'm not getting it right. When I'm doing that, I have to betray my truth to do that. And I'm still in defense, because I'm still worried about what's going to happen if I don't look perfect. Right? So this is where we are. The anxiety of imperfection. I'm always in this work. This work is always with me. I'm always doing it. It's just how I'm wired, and it's why I fucking love it, honestly, so much. Like, I love all the, like, I need to express my rage. Bring it. Like, I love holding for that shit. All the dark stuff that nobody can handle, it's just fun to me. And I love this. So, I had somewhere I was going with that, and I just got sidetracked. My bad. Oh, yeah, thank you. Okay, spirit, yay. But yeah, so it's like I'm constantly on the learning train, and Spirit said to me yesterday, are you ready to be seen? Because that's both what we crave and what we fear. Are you ready to be seen? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, are you ready to be seen in your imperfection? And I was like, oh, fuck. I can just feel that in my gut, in my solar plexus going, God, why? And I had to cry about it, because part of me was like, no, I'm not ready. Part of me was like, God, no. Because she still believes that if she shows up imperfectly, she's going to die. Someone's coming for her. Someone's going to kill her. Someone's going to project all over her. Someone's going to whatever the hell it is. Right? I don't know that she'll ever leave me. And honestly, I don't know that I want her to. But am I terrified of it? No. Do I actually know that no one's coming to get me this time? Yes. It's just a belief she's got. And it's just a feeling. And it's just a pointing out instructions, and that it's a piece of me that still needs healing. And there's layers of this. It's not just like, oh, I healed that. I'm one and done, right? Usually my people are the ones who are like, what's that quote from Brené Brown? We can do hard things, right? That's who we are. We're the lions of take it on. I can take it everything. I can take this on and I can take this on and I can drag that truck behind me and the five boulders and all my pain and blah, 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 blah. And I can help you move and I can show up for you here. That this is who we are. And we need help too. We need help. Feeling your feelings is part of that help. Getting a witness is part of that help. Having a good support system is part of that help. Don't go back to your parents and expect them to hold this for you if they haven't changed. Okay? Know where you're safe. Don't just show up to any freaking person and go, I need you to witness this for me. Because you can get hurt worse if people are like, oh, well, let me tell you how to fix that. Nope. Let me shove a judgment on you. Let me shove my projection on you. Let me give you advice. You don't need any of that. You need to be seen and validated in the experiences that you have had that you are afraid to share and get to know yourself as it is. Like, yes, you've had those experiences and I am not afraid of you. You have had big emotions and it doesn't threaten me. You are allowed to have those big emotions here. You are allowed to let go and I won't let anything bad happen to you. This is what you need. You need to know that even though you've got a shit ton of rage that you need to let out to be able to let that shit out and have somebody look at you and go, I fucking love you for this. I love witnessing your expression of this. This is fucking beautiful, and I see you, and I see your fucking pain, and I honor the hell the way that this is coming out of you. And yes, yes, yes. That is the healing answer to some of this. Are we breathing? Breathing. I'm just going to let you know, I don't usually do this, but I've been doing this a lot lately. I turned two cards over before I started this out of my Oracle deck. And the cards that came up, I'm just going to share this with you, are healing and new beginning. And the healing is like, I love the spirit world right now because there's a picture of an angel sitting next to a tree with a woman's head on her lap and she's just playing with her hair. And it's like, this is where we're at right now. Like, when it's like, Bob mentioned, we've turned the corner, our ascension is happening. This is what's happening. We are so supported energetically and on the other side right now, it's off the hook, ridiculous. The world is going to have to fall apart before it puts itself back together in a different way, because in order to undo conditioning, we have to undo it before we find a new way. It's just part of how it's going to happen. And as long as you're plugged into the heart of who you are and your truth, and you can feel your emotions and allow yourself to be supported, you're going to be okay. Don't expect the world to hold you up. You need to hold you up. But from a place of allowing yourself, giving yourself permission, kindness, love, compassion, not hunkering down, defending yourself, going in harder and going, I just got to get through this. Like, you deserve more than that. And God knows you've been fucking asking for it. You deserve it. Okay? This is the healing that's here. So if you were somebody who talks to spirit, works with spirit, Jesus, God, Allah, whoever it is for you, nature, lean into that. I want you to like full on give that way more weight than the physical world right now, because it is really showing up big time for us. And this is a huge time for healing. And I know astrologically too, Chiron's doing some shit in the sky right now that's definitely healing a lot of the incongruency between the mind and the heart right now. So this is why you may feel a little crazy. If you can get an observer on it, do it. New beginnings. New beginnings is like, it's just, I don't even need to say any more about that. Stuff is starting over. Everything is starting over. Have more faith than you do fear. Okay? Try, like, this isn't get it right. Go. I realize that just came out. Like, here's what you need to do. Have more faith than you have fear. but it's, you're not doing anything wrong if you have fear too. I want you to acknowledge what's true and real for you over getting it right. Okay, so that's it for today. And I want to offer you guys something. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, we are doing some fun things. If you want to interact with me, you want to hook up with me, you want to do all the jazz, let's do this. I am offering a 5-day free challenge. For relieve the pressure of anxiety from perfection punishment wound in 5 days. 5, 5, 5, 5. For the successful, high-functioning, overachieving woman who wants to stop punishing herself and trying to get it right so that you can finally be loved and accepted for who you are. So what this is a 5-day free challenge with short, doable steps to implement each day to change your life and an opportunity for you to win prizes that will actually help you go even further into healing, okay? This work builds on itself. You're going to get a tool every single day, and it's going to turn into a framework that you can use to get out of the shit for life, all right? This is all free, 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 free. This is going to begin on Monday, the 17th of July. I'm going to do these lives at 4 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. Where? Live on Facebook in a closed private group so that it's just us doing this. If you want in, I'm going to give you the link in a minute. Bring friends. It's always good, like support system I'm talking about, witnesses. If you want to do this with friends, bring them in with you. These videos are going to be short. It's like 8 to 15 minutes max a day online, live with me at 4 p.m. With a 5 to 15 minute Q&A following if you want to stay for that. Homework is going to be what I give you on those lives, and it'll take between 10 to 20 minutes a day, more if you want. But they're super easy steps and meditations. And it is just, it's super simple tasks designed to break through the subconscious barrier and create lasting, tangible transformation for you guys. I have never done anything like this. I am scared. I am nervous. I am outing myself because I am never done this. And what better way for you to go through your perfection punishment, oh God, anxiety, than with somebody else who knows what this is like and just happens to be a couple of steps ahead of you on the path, okay? I want to have fun. I want to play with you guys. This is not going to be a big, huge, serious thing. The work will be serious. But it's more about collaboration and open heart and just fun. Like, you guys need a break right now. And if I can give you guys tools to help break this, and you're going to learn, you know, what is it like to hang out with me and all of the jazz, I'm excited to do this. So please come join me. The link to do that is going to be at my website. So www.bridging-realms.com/5-day-challenge. All in one word, okay? /5-day-challenge, the number 5-day-challenge. If you want, follow me on Instagram at Becca Honeycutt. That's BeccaHunnicutt. I'm sharing about that all this week on there. So, and you can get hooked up. It's in my little link in bio over there. And if you're interested, also join me on Facebook. You can find me on there. I'm doing card pulls for the rest of the week and talking about this. So I'd be happy to have you guys show up and interact with me there. But I really just want to thank you guys so much for showing up today, for listening, for wanting avidly to change your life, and for being interested in this work as a possible choice for you to do that. So have yourself a happy little day. And I will chat with you guys again in 2 weeks. See you later.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.